Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King. As always, for this show, the Grizzlies have had a wild couple of days. We'll talk about the ending to that Knicks game on today's show. We'll talk about the suspensions. We'll break it all down. We'll talk about the Rising Stars roster that got released on today, Friday, as well as talk about a few other trade or potential trade prospects, New Orleans Pelicans games. Lots to get to, all that coming up on today's show of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Wow. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the show. Like I mentioned, the Grizzlies have had a wild couple of days. Let's start right off the bat. Let's start where the Grizzlies and the Knicks ending to the game last night, which I thought would be just a random ending to a terrible game for the Knicks. The Knicks are a joke. I'll be honest with you. Like, their franchise is a joke, man. Like, if anybody complains about Robert Parrin not being around, just remember that the Knicks are owned. I don't even remember who the owner is. Dolan, maybe? Is that who their owner is? But, like, they are awful. Like, I just don't know what they're doing to try to compete with the around the league. That aside, I mean, the ending of that game was terrible. Like, Elfrid Payton, what are you doing? Like, in a situation where Jay Crowder has to shoot the ball, it doesn't matter what you do. There's 50 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, Jay Crowder has to do something. He's not going to sit there and take the turnover. Like, it happens in every single game, every single night in the NBA where there's a blowouts or big leads or whatever there is. Like, teams have to take shots. They're not just going to run the shot clock out and take a violation. They never do that. It never happens. So what did you think was going to happen? Like, I get it. I get you're frustrated. I get you're on a bad team. You're in a bad situation. I get it. It's frustrating to lose, especially lose a lot. Like, that takes a toll on the season as a person. Like, I've been there. Not at the NBA, but I've been a part of losing teams. Like, it sucks. But you're out here deliberately trying to hurt people. Like, Jay Crowder is up in the air, and you don't go for a block. You don't go for a hard foul. You just try to push him and deliberately hurt somebody. Like, that is absolute. That's it's classless. It's not professional. It's a joke. Like, that's the worst of the worst of what all the things you can do. That's the bottom rung. And it's just ridiculous, the fact that Elfrid Payton is out here trying to hurt people, and it doesn't matter seemingly to the NBA, because the suspensions came out, and we'll talk about that for a minute, but the suspensions come out and Jay Crowder is fined $25,000 for, I don't know what, defending himself. What did Jay Crowder do to deserve a $25,000 fine? That's what I want to know. I wanted to know what he deserved to have a technical foul called on him. Like, Elfrid Payton pushed him and Jay Crowder went back at him. Like, why does Jay Crowder deserve the technical foul and a $25,000 fine? Like, what does that doesn't do anything for you at all. And Jay Crowder did nothing. Not only that, they suspend Marco Guderich and Jaren Jackson Jr. for what? Jaren Jackson Jr. and Marco Guderich were already standing up. So the rule is, if you come off the bench, it's an automatic suspension. No matter what, it's an automatic one-game suspension. Doesn't matter. But Marco Guderich and Jaren were already standing up. Jaren was standing up just cheering on plays, not like players just like stand up at the end of the bench, like kind of in that baseline area. Like, happens all the time. And they were already standing up. And the fight breaks out, and they actually went back towards, like, took steps back towards the bench. So you suspended Jaren and Marco for doing exactly what they're supposed to do in terms of going back to the bench and not coming out on the court. That's what the NBA did. That is ridiculous. It's absurd. The fact that you suspend two players from the Grizzlies for doing absolutely nothing, actually doing what you want them to do and not go out on the court and cause more of a ruckus. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. And Elfrin Payton gets the same suspension one game as Jaren Jackson Jr. One guy did nothing. One guy tried to deliberately hurt somebody. One guy gets one game suspension and so does the other. This is not the same thing. There's no way you can look at that game, at the ending to that game, and what Elfrin Payton did and describe it as exactly the same as what even what Jay Crowder did or what Jaren Jackson Jr. did. It's just not, you can't tell me that's the same, because it's not. And I don't understand how this happens on a continual basis where the league suspends guys for taking one step off the bench. It's stupid. It's a bad rule, and I get what they're trying to do, but they're using it incorrectly. I don't like it. And in this case, it's a terrible use of it because they did nothing wrong. And on top of all that, you don't even suspend Marcus Morris, who's out there he's trying to instigate the fight further along. So like, you don't suspend Marcus Morris or anything else. Like that's just stupid. Like all the punishment that you rendered in this situation at the end of the Knicks game is all wrong. You should have gave Elfrin Payton more than one game. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Mark Goodrich should never have been suspended. Neither should have Jay Crowder should have been fined. And Marcus Morris should have been suspended or fined. Like this is not right. And it's just not the right punishment for what happened at the end of that game. And on top of all that, to tell you how bad the Knicks are, you still have Marcus Morris saying really dumb shit. Like, in the year of our Lord, 2020, Marcus Morris is out here saying really stupid stuff. Like, just has no place in this league. And I understand he came out and apologized for it. I get it. But when you're frustrated and you're heated, that's usually when the truth comes out. Like, when the true person's mentality, that's when they're talking the truth. And you can go apologize for it later. But when you're really heated and things are, you're starting to talk just kind of off your chest and just talking as you will. That's people's true colors right there. And that's who Marcus Morris is. It's just dumb. It's dumb stuff you just don't say. And have some more respect for women in this country, in this world, than that. Like in a week where a hashtag of girl dad is trending all over the social media apps and what Kobe has done for his daughters and all this stuff. You come out here and say shit like that. Like that's dumb. It's inappropriate. It's dumb. It makes no sense to me how A, you can be that dumb in that situation, but also have that and still in 2020, still have that view on life. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. And on top of all that, how bad are the Knicks franchise? They shut the water off. Like the Grizzlies didn't have water pressure to take showers or hot water to take showers after the game. It's a joke. It's a joke, man. It does not make any sense. And honestly, you should fine them for not having water, like for not having a visitor's locker room that actually works. That's what they should fine them for. It doesn't make sense. It's a joke. And it's just ridiculous. The fact that the Knicks were able to do all this and it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the league. At any point, like Marcus Morris should have been fined for his comments after the game. They should be fined as a franchise for not having a visiting locker room that works. It just doesn't make any sense to me. We'll be right back. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on all the action with MyBookie. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back to the show. We want to talk about the Rising Stars Challenge. The Grizzlies have three guys in the Rising Stars Challenge. They got Jaren Jackson Jr., John Morant, and Brandon Clark. All of guys I thought were pretty makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. You know, it doesn't make sense. Is I get it. Like, you're going to put Zion Williamson in the Rising Stars Challenge because he's the number one pick in the draft. You have to. Like, I get it. But he's played like five games. So, like, I don't know. It's just weird why you put guys out there that really I get it. It's for ratings. I get all that. But kudos to Jaren Jackson Jr., John Morant, both making the team, which I thought they would. Brandon Clark, being from Canada, makes the world team. I thought he would do that as well. It's great to have three guys out there going to be representing the Grizzlies for All-Star Weekend. I love that. Charlotte also had three guys, PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, and Devontae Graham. I thought it was very, very cool. So, yeah, it was good for the Grizzlies to have three guys out there. Again, I'm not a fan of the Zion Williamson out there, but I get it. And my whole thing was, if you're going to play this thing for ratings, you should. That's what All-Star Weekend should be about. You should go out there and do whatever you need to do to make people watch, because that's what it's about. I mean, clearly, if you want money, and this is about money, you have advertisers to put on TV. I get that too. So go out there and make whatever it is, however you want to make the game, which, by the way, the All-Star rules that they change are just confusing. Like, I don't like that, because that is too confusing to understand. Like, they're restarting the clock at the it's like you gotta have a PhD to understand what they're doing in the All-Star game now. Like, I get the tribute to Kobe, I love that, that's awesome, but that just make it more difficult. So if you're gonna put Zion in the Rising Stars game for ratings, because he's only played five games, because it can't be, you can't look at him and say, okay, he's had a weekend, or he's had a year that deserves to be an All-Star weekend, because he's only played like five games, he's played a week and a half or so. Like, you cannot point to that and say that's deserving, because it's just not in terms of merit and what you're doing. So if you're going to put Zion Williamson in for the All-Star game, and that's totally cool, because I get it, I know how this works, I get that, you got to put John Morant in as an All-Star who actually deserves it as well in terms of ratings. Like, if you're going to do that, you got to do that. If you're going to do Zion, you got to do John Morant as an All-Star, because that is much better ratings than Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook. I guarantee it. Guarantee John Morant brings more eyeballs to television than either one of those guys, as old as they are. People want to see something new they've never seen before. But guess what? John Morant in the All-Star game would have done it. Not that he missed out by a lot, because he didn't. He didn't miss out on the All-Star game by that much at all. And he deserves it. And it's not like you would have put him in there and people would have been like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And maybe some people don't watch the league a lot, but if you know the NBA and watch the league all the time, you know what John Morant can do. And he is the best player on a team that had no expectations to be where they're at. And now he personally, along with a few other guys, but his ability to take over the game has brought this team further along than they ever would have been without him. That's what an All-Star is. That's what an All-Star does to a team, is it takes a team and transforms it into something completely different. And that is what Ja Morant has done with this Grizzlies team. So if you're going to do Zion Williamson in the Rising Stars Challenge, I think you got to do Ja Morant in the All-Star game, because he deserves it, A, and it's good for ratings. I get why you put Zion in there. I really do, but it is, I mean, I think you can't have one without the other. And I understand why they're not going to put him in, because they don't want to put a rookie in, but he's good enough, and he's make a case for to be an All-Star, because that's what an All-Star is. An All-Star is someone who makes their team incredibly better than what they were already going to be. To me, that's who an All-Star is. And he still might get in as an All-Star if Luka Doncic can't play because of an ankle injury, which he recently sustained. If someone can't play because of injury, maybe Ja Morant gets the call. He should. I mean, he's an All-Star. I just don't subscribe to the theory of not putting rookies in an All-Star game just because they're rookies. If you're good enough, you're good enough. We'll be right back. Let's talk about a couple trade targets in the last segment of the show. Welcome back to the show. This is going to start kind of our trade target series of segments that we talk about different players that the Grizzlies, I think, should go after in the next coming week. Trade deadline is February 6th. That's next Thursday at like 2 o'clock our time. So We're going to start doing this now. We'll have a couple in this segment. I'm about to record another show, has a couple more as well. So stay tuned for that throughout this week. All next week, we'll have those just different guys who I think the Grizzlies should go after. And the way that I'm going to probably structure these segments or talking about these players is A, the player, what they do well, and then why the Grizzlies should do it, or why, and you'll see a running theme of why the Grizzlies should do it, why the opposing team makes that trade in terms of cap space, all those type of things. So we'll talk about the player, what they can do for the Grizzlies, why the Grizzlies should do it, why the other team would do that trade if it was presented to them. So let's start the bat with Joe Harris, a guy that I think has been talked about a little, plays for the Brooklyn Nets, is a guy that is extremely good shooter. And you'll see this running theme throughout all these players, is a wing player that can shoot the ball and make plays. Not that I don't think that Dylan Brooks is good, and I think Dylan Brooks is great, and I think you can have this player plus Dylan Brooks and still be good. And so Joe Harris is the one that we start with, shoots the ball really, really well, 40% from three this year, six attempts per game. He shot 48% from three last year, 48% from three last year on over five attempts per game. He's scoring right at 14 points a game last year, scored 14 points a game this year. He's playing a lot of minutes for the Nets, 30 minutes a game, 31 minutes a game this year, 30 minutes a game last year. But what you have to remember is the Brooklyn Nets have a guy named Kevin Durant. And Brooklyn and Kevin Durant and Joe Harris, they play the same position practically. So you're going to have a lot of minutes that are on the table this year that I think will be on, that will not be on the table next year. So why the Grizzlies would do trade for Joe Harris? Simple. He's really good at basketball. Like, he is a guy that can go out and make shots. He's a guy that can knock down. Anytime he has an open three, he's knocking it down. Like, he is a surefire shooter. And he's a guy that's someone the Grizzlies need, whether that's off the bench, starting, whatever you think about Dylan Brooks. I think Joe Harris is a starter for the Grizzlies. I think he's just in a shooting guard spot that will be really, really good. And you could even start Joe Harris and Dylan Brooks. Imagine that. You're starting to do Joe Harris at the two, Dylan Brooks at the three, or vice versa. It's a guy that can really, really extend this offense. We talked about this before. If Taylor Jenkins ever gets a guy that he's extremely good at shooting the three ball, imagine what his offense could be. Well, that's what Joe Harris is for Taylor Jenkins. So that's why the Grizzlies would do it. And why do the Nets do it is another thing. And again, I just mentioned this a little bit. The minutes are going to be a big thing for Joe Harris next year. I'm not sure he's going to get 30 minutes a game again on the Nets when Kevin Durant comes back. I don't know what Kevin Durant's going to be. And so do the Nets keep him around? Because who knows what Kevin Durant's going to be? I don't know. But you got to think about their cap sheet. And Kevin Durant has got $39 million on the books next year. Kyrie Irving's got it 33. Karis LeVert's got 16. Spencer Dinwiddie's got 11. DeAndre Jordan's got 10. I mean, they got a lot of players they have to pay next year. They got players they got to pay. They don't have a lot of them. So they got a lot of money committed to not a lot of players. And they're going to be very, very close to the tax right off the bat. I mean, if you put Joe Harris's what he probably should get at $15, $16 million a year, they would be over the tax. And so I don't think they can commit to Joe Harris and the amount of money he's going to want or get offered a restricted free agency and be able to fill out the rest of the roster. I just don't know if it's going to happen. So it's a guy I think they're probably going to have to let go. And if they're no going forward, they're going to have to let go of Joe Harris. It would behoove them to go ahead and trade him now to get something for him, even though you could do a sign and trade in the offseason. But the Grizzlies, I would go ahead and try to get him right now, because then you can control what you're able to do. And again, you'll see this theme as we talk about a lot of these players, they're all restricted free agents. And you say, why do you trade for a restricted free agent? Why not just wait to the offseason and make an offer? Well, A, you can control their destiny if you have the bird rights. If the Grizzlies trade for Joe Harris now, they control what they want to do in terms of the offseason. You can go out and make offers to those restricted free agents, but notoriously, if you want a restricted free agent, you have to overpay for that person. Like, look at Tyus Jones' contract. Like, honestly, he's probably paid a little too much, but the Timberwolves didn't match because it was probably a little too much. And so you see that all the time. So if you want a restricted free agent, you have to go out and you probably have to overpay for those guys. And so if you are the Grizzlies If you trade for him now, you could probably get him at a cheaper discount, and you probably get him for a cheaper, longer term. Not to mention, if you want to sign him for 5 years, you can, because you have his bird rights. If you don't, you don't. I mean, I think that you're probably going to have to give up some stuff to get Joe Harris. Like, what would it take to get him? I think he probably starts with Jay Crowder, maybe Josh Jackson, and probably a pick or two. I think that's probably what it takes to get Joe Harris. The problem is he doesn't make a lot of money right now, so making the money work would be difficult for the Grizzlies, just because they'd have to probably include something. You could probably actually do Joe Harris and Josh Jackson plus a pick or plus something, and that would work. Now, with not sure what they would do with Josh Jackson. You maybe see him as a poor man's Joe Harris. I don't know. There's always a potential of what Josh Jackson could be as a lower tier, if they would have re-signed him as a lower tier guy into a lower contract coming off the bench, some type of thing. So I don't know what that would take. That's probably what you're probably starting with, though, is maybe a Jay Crowder or Josh Jackson plus picks or something like that to get Joe Harris on the Grizzlies. That's it for today's show. We're going to have more trade targets coming up on the next few shows. I'm about to record another one, so these shows will probably show up in your podcast feed right about the same time. So if you want more, go ahead and listen to the next one. We'll have to talk about more trade targets as well. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, make sure you go and do so, whatever podcast platform you're using, so you don't miss any episodes that we do every single day.